Hello everyone and welcome to the Round 15 Trade Targets and Preview stream for NRL Supercoach 2023. Please let me know if you guys can hear me all okay. I've toyed with the settings, should all be good compared to the Sunday stream. Basically, I had accidentally knocked one of the buttons and the gain was too high. So I've corrected that, so you should all be able to hear me properly. Welcome to everyone in the chat. Nice haircut, thank you so much. As always, you guys love the haircuts that I get, or the one haircut I get like every other couple of months. But hello to Salty, Cy, Ian Johnson, Jonty, Davey K, as always, Rexstar, Paycheck, Gray, Moz, Hamish, Jason Yang, Chris, Joshua Hughes. Lots of people in the chat already, which is great to see. And obviously Carnage this week, right? There's so much to discuss this week in terms of big talking points out of team lists. So hopefully the stream doesn't go for crazy long, but there is a lot to get into. So do drop the stream a like throughout if you have enjoyed it. And I will hopefully try to get to everyone's questions. I will try to be a bit more concise than probably I normally am, but we'll see how we go. So quickly just going through how I went last week. 10.51, obviously the Cleary captaincy didn't quite work out. But end up on 10.51. It was a very small red arrow, down 750 spots. So sitting at 8,100, do have, well, actually this screenshot says I've made one trade. I have made a trade, but I'm sitting at 21 at this point. So 21 trades. So I think there's quite a few trades for me to be able to hopefully fix up the team. And my God, this week we do need to fix up our teams. Lots of players out and lots of very big relevant Supercoach players out as well. So quick shout out as well to the group league. To our top 10, all sitting in the top 128. Stu, especially at 54th, is a fantastic rank. And congrats as well to Dat from Composed Kara Guns, who had a really big score as well in round 14. I'm going to guess he did not captain, he or she, I'm going to guess that they did not captain Nathan Cleary. But enough of kind of the shout-outs and stuff. Before I get onto the draw difficulty, let's just do a quick wrap-up, I guess, of TLT. There was a lot to dissect, I think, from the week, so I thought it'd be good just to put very, very quickly together some of the key ins and outs and any positional switches as well. Jason, hey, Amart, even though it's only been a few days, I already miss you dearly. I was streaming on Sunday, so it was only been a couple of days, so but thank you, I appreciate that a lot. Dealbags poem? Ooh, nah. We'll talk about Dealbags, of course. So I guess quickly in terms of the TLT Carnage, so obviously a lot of big outs, Latrell Mitchell and Cam Murray both being ruled out for the Rabbitohs this week. I think Latrell last week, if you had owned him, I think he was a sell at that point. If you still are holding on to him, I probably think, again, he's a very clear sell just with round 16 around the corner. The Rabbitohs have a bye that week anyway, fully expecting him to potentially get rested, and calf is a bit of a niggly injury. Cam Murray as well. I mean, his value is so low, but I suspect there's not a lot of Murray owners out there still. If you are, condolences. He's now 500k with a break even of 88. We could be picking him up for sub 500k, which is crazy to think about when you had Cam Murray at the start of the season as an outright gun. Travis, so pumped to be here live. First time. Oh, appreciate that a lot, Travis. Welcome. Hopefully you enjoy the stream live tonight. Obviously, the big outs, Dave Fifita is probably the other big one, you know, one of the other big ones to touch on. So he's been rested this week by the Titans. He was suffering delayed concussion symptoms. And so that probably does explain a little bit more why on the weekend he only played the 33 minutes. And we'll definitely talk about whether Fifita is a hold or a sell. He has a lot of money, does miss out this week, and will probably miss next week as well. So, yeah, and he's a very high value. So lots to consider as well with Fifita. Cleary, we found out yesterday or the day before that he's going to be out for about 6 weeks due to this hamstring injury. Jack DeBellin is out this week as well with a HIA, and the Dragons don't also play round 16. So a few people might be obviously holding JDB and he's going to be out. And also Joseph Suli'i, I guess people may have been eyeing him up. He's out for 3 weeks with suspension. Now, in terms of the ins, I guess, for TLT, Tom Trbojevic, they mainly have got their exemption to have Turbo play. I think NRL Physio had posted something on Twitter just earlier about the reasons why they were. I think it came down to that Manly were able to dispute the value or the assessment made by the independent doctor, and I think that was based on they thought Turbo was presenting Category 2 symptoms, not Category 1. So anyway, Turbo's in, so if you're a Turbo owner and holder, you're obviously very happy with him playing this week. Jeremy Marshall-King is back as well. for the Dolphins. So I think any Jeremy Marshall King owners definitely will be happy about that, given he missed last week. And AJ Brimson is back for the Titans. So, you know, obviously a lot of movement at the halves in the 5-8 spot. He could be a pod that maybe you can consider. Does Teddy kick goals for the Roosters? Just on kicking goals for the Roosters, I mean, I'm looking at that team list quite frankly, I don't know how many goals we're going to be scoring or trying to kick against the Panthers. I think Corey Allen has kicked before though, so I feel like Corey Allen might goal kick. Look, Teddy's goal kicked before, but it was pretty awful. So I think Corey Allen might be one who gets the goal kicking above Tedesco. Maybe Sandon Smith. I have no idea if he's a goal kicker, but if he's on the bench, maybe comes on, he can do goal kicking potentially. I have no idea about that though. Couple of question marks. Obviously, Reid Marnie has been named, but he's going to be touch and go depending on his HIA. So I think if you're a Reid Marnie owner, you have something to think about there too. I would love if Joey Marnie would kick goals, but I don't think I've ever recalled Joey Marnie kicking goals before, so I don't think that would be the case. But fingers crossed if you're a Marnie owner like myself. Dylan Brown, obviously the big question mark. I'm going to be doing a lot of kind of hedging myself today talking about Dill Bags because he's got a court hearing. I think it's tomorrow in the afternoon. Basically, his charge doesn't automatically qualify for an immediate stand down as per the NRL's rules, but the NRL and the Eels still do have the discretion to stand him down if they so choose to. He's been named because they just simply have no idea if he'll be available to play or not. It comes down to, I guess, the whatever happens in this court hearing tomorrow. I'm just quickly checking article. So he is just seeing what time it is. It's sometime tomorrow. It's either in the evening or the afternoon. I can't find the time exactly, but I'm hoping that we find out more information after that. Obviously on Twitter, I'll post some kind of an update on my thoughts as well if we do get that. My gut feeling is that he won't play. I think it'd be, you know, because essentially the question that the NRL and the Parramatta Eels have is, you know, when they do like a discretionary stand down is, do they think that this player and his actions will cause the game to be into disrepute? And you'd probably say yes, based on their actions and what he's charged for. So I think if it's confirmed that that's what's happened, then I see it unlikely for him to be playing this week. But I'm just going to hold fire, I guess, and see what happens based on tomorrow. Hopefully we get some kind of update. If we don't, then look, we'll dissect it a little bit more when we start talking about Cleary, etc. Couple of other small things on position changes. So Ruben Garrick has been named in the centres this week, which is a bit disgusting if you're an owner, because we've seen him playing in the centres before, not good Supercoach wise. So I think there was one question someone had asked about choosing a centre. Garrick was in the options. Look, if he's at centre, not someone I'd be keen on. Corey Horsburgh moves back to lock and Joe Tarpany moves back to prop because Elliot Whitehead is back. Probably, again, the flow on impact is that Pasami Solo has been named to the bench, which, look, last week I thought it would be an okay purchase, but I thought this was Whitehead being out for longer. I thought the injury was a little bit longer than what it actually was, and he's back from his suspension. So, yeah, unfortunately, Solo's back to the bench. He does still have a negative break even. That probably kills him, though, as a potential downgrade option. Greyvox is saying Sandon Smith will kick goals off the bench. Nick Donnelly, first time here live, very excited. Oh, thank you so much. First hearing will most likely only be a mention, more hearing dates to come. Yeah, look, it's so hard to see what will happen to Dill Bags, but look, I can, my personal feel is that he won't play, but their game is not also until Monday and they play the very last game of the round. So from a Supercoach point of view, it's a little bit difficult to manage because if you find out late that he's out, you probably don't have a lot of options to move to. But yeah, I guess the biggest talking point, or at least that I thought so, coming into this week was on the halfback and the 5-8s. So obviously Cleary out for quite a long time, 4 to 6 weeks, I think it was, Dill Bags with this hanging over his head. So I think everyone is looking at who are the potential halfback options to go to. And, you know, Cleary is by far the most traded out player in the game. I think last time I saw, I think he'd been traded out by like 13,000 players, myself included. And, you know, fair enough, for good reason. He's 850K. He's going to be sitting on your bench for a long time. It's a hamstring, one of those muscle injuries that you just don't know how a player will come back from. So I think it's one of those ones where, you know, he probably would be, I think, in my opinion, a fairly easy sell. And I guess let's do this first. Let's talk about Cleary and Brown together. So this question I pulled off from YouTube on my community post. Someone had asked, should we be trading out both Cleary and Dylan Brown, or should we just trade one and hold the other? Now, this is kind of interesting because, you know, with Cleary and, you know, if Dilbax doesn't play, neither of them are going to go down in value. And there's a lot of uncertainty, I think, that about the New South Wales halves. I think that we need to quickly discuss that too as well, about, you know, who do we think New South Wales will have in the halves combination, and that'll have some flow-on effect as to who might be available for round 16 and also for round 19. My personal feeling is that Nicho Hynes will be the halfback. I can't see, I mean, look, Freddie's a bit of a madman sometimes with his selections, but I would be pretty surprised if he dropped, like, I know there's a lot of talk about combinations, get in Cody Walker, get in Adam Reynolds because of the old Rabbitohs connection, and Reynolds plays at Suncorp, yada, 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 get Damien Cook in at half, at hooker. I just can't see Freddie going so different for, you know, yes, it's a very tough away game, but I feel like Cody Walker, despite how good his form has been, I feel like, unfortunately for him, he must be on some kind of blacklist to not play New South Wales Origin again. I just don't know what it is. But my feeling is that with Nicho Hynes being in the squad, I think he's going to get first crack at the halfback spot. Because, I mean, if I was Freddie, you would just look at this game as you have nothing to lose. Like, no one is going to think that New South Wales are favourites coming into this game, surely. So my feeling is that Nicho Hynes was in the squad already, Dally M halfback from last year. I think he'll be the one who gets first crack. And Luai, I don't think, will get dropped because he played quite well in game one. So my feeling is that Hynes would be the halfback in round 16. I know a few people might say Mitch Moses because he's played a game before. I don't know. I just personally can't see it. I think Hynes will be the one. And I think Matt Burton will probably go to the bench as a utility, if that's how, because Matt Burton was the 18th man once that all changed. Or, yeah, because a player got ruled out and Matt Burton became available as the 18th man, because Matt Burton is quite versatile. He can play half, 5-8, centre, etc. So he can move in a few positions. So for me, like, someone like Mitch Moses, who I think is probably the most popular option as a trade-in, I personally feel comfortable trading in Moses this week. It's a great matchup as well against the Bulldogs. The next three games look quite good. Manly without their origin players in round 16. Dolphins, despite how good they've been, they still do leak points. So from a Supercoach perspective, still a decent matchup. A bye in round 18 is obviously not fantastic, but that is a standalone week that you should be able to cover. You've got, after that, Warriors and then Titans. Like, it's up until round 2021, Parramatta have a good run. And then what you'll note looking at their draw a little bit longer term is that it gets quite bad from around round 22 onwards, at which point you're probably going to want to go back to Cleary anyway if he's fully fit, you know, for the run home. You know, from round 22, Parramatta play Melbourne, Broncos, Roosters and Penrith and a bye. So not a great run home. Panthers, well, look, Panthers' run isn't fantastic, but it's Cleary. You're probably going to want Cleary back. So Moses feels like the best stepping stone to have for this period and then also to get back to Cleary. The other one is SJ. So I know someone had asked me on Twitter, besides Sean Johnson and Moses, are there any other pod halfbacks? For me, it really is one of Johnson or Moses, just based on their kind of expected points. So if you see in the table below me, I've got expected points both based on both the total season average, but also on their last five round average, just to try to add it, just to see if there's a few more data points, because, you know, you guys know I love my numbers and whatnot. Those two definitely stand out. You know, I've got Moses down for, what is it, 300 and, let me just move my light, 350 based on his average, SJ 355. So obviously SJ is a little bit higher, but he did just have come off a 120 plus point game. On the five round average, Moses, apart from this one down game, he's had a pretty big tons. So I think for me, Moses, the draw I think is also better. I skipped over that slide, but I'll quickly flick back to it. This slide here shows the draw difficulty over the next 6 weeks, sorted by, you know, easiest to worst. I've got Parramatta ranked number one, and this is based on Supercoach points conceded, so I've tried to bring it as relevant as possible. The Warriors are kind of like middle of the table. They don't also cover round 16. I think having someone like Moses against a, look, if he doesn't play Origin, I think he's going to be someone that you would probably want to have, and to be honest, he's like a great captaincy shout this week too. I just prefer the draw for Moses. I think he's got more consistently will be able to hit a higher ceiling than Johnson. I know Johnson had a great game last week, but we've seen Moses already get like two or three tons this season. He does have those low games in him. And I tend to think, though, that if Dillabags doesn't play, yes, obviously will hurt Parramatta as a whole, but I think it improves Mitchell Moses supercoach-wise. He'll take full control of the squad, and we already know he goal kicks and he has all those other things going for him too. He's already got 3 tons this season. He does have 2 games below 20, which doesn't help, but he had a 95 as well in round 13. So I personally like Moses. I think SJ's draw is just not as appealing in my opinion, and I like the round 16 coverage and also round 17 as well for Moses. Now, just back to the question about Cleary and Dillbags. I think if you are on the fence about this whole New South Wales halves combination, I think it's fine to hold on to Cleary for one more week. And then look, next week you can sell knowing you've got full certainty of who is available for round 16. Now, Cody Walker won't be available that round because of he has the bye anyway. But if you are unsure about Moses being the guy, then look, you can just go buy Moses in round 16 if he's not playing Origin. Let's say for some reason Nicho Hynes doesn't play Origin. On Nicho Hynes, because I think there may be a few people out there who own Hynes still and Cleary, or maybe, for example, are thinking about going back to Hynes. I don't mind going back to Nicho Hynes, to be honest, because even if he does play Origin, round 15, he'll play round 18, and I think he'll play round 20, backing up from Origin. Only 3 games out of the next 6. So he does miss 3 games. But just look, again, expected points. If he just goes based on his season average of 99, he pumped out 90 last week, doing not much again in the second half. 396 points. Even in 3 games, on his season average, he would outscore SJ and Moses. So I think if you are just like, stuff it, I'm low on trades, I just need to bring in a guy I want to set and forget, I don't see any issues going Nicho Hynes. I've already sold him. I'm probably going to try to, I guess, antipod him until after the Origin period. That's why I'm looking more at the likes of Moses and SJ, and I think I just prefer Moses. But I think it's perfectly reasonable to hold on to Cleary for another week if you're really unsure about who you want to go to. I feel somewhat confident that Moses won't play Origin, so I feel like I'm okay to pull the pin on him this week. Look, if he's out next week, in terms of, yes, it'll be annoying, but in terms of numbers, you know, SJ doesn't play that week, so you're not going to get hurt by that decision next week. You know, Matt Burton, I don't think will be available because I think he will be in the New South Wales squad too. So I've got him up here, but I realistically don't think he's a buy because I think he's more likely to play in the blue squad than Moses is. Below me, I've got a bunch of other players, both in halves and 5'8". Someone's mentioned Luke Keary. I haven't got Luke Keary in my list here. And this is for people who may be looking to go for a little bit more of a pod. Look, I don't really love going Keary because, like, Penrith matchup this week, Roosters still don't look great in attack. 55 last week was fine, but that did include like a try assist, line break assist to Teddy, I think it was. Look, his 5-round average is 57, 3-round average is 65. It's fine, but like, he hasn't cracked 90 points so far this season. I think there's just way better options in my opinion, and I would just, like, you're not going to be short on funds, I think, you know, especially if you're selling Cleary, or if you even sell Dillbags. James, thank you for calling out. My math was very bad. Yes, it shouldn't be 396. It should be 297. I can't do 99 times 3. Thank you for that. So that does change my thinking a little bit, obviously, on Nicho, but what I'm saying is, I guess, even 3 games and you can go about 300 points, it's not that far below the likes of SJ and Moses. So still don't think he's in a bad trade-in, but obviously not my preference because of the whole, I think he will play Origin and miss games. So, yeah, thank you, James, for calling me out. Well, not calling me out. You did it in a polite way. But thank you for pulling me up on that because I did need to correct that for sure. But yeah, for me, Moses and SJ stand out. And I think Moses is the one I'd be going for. Just having a quick look at the chat as well. I'm seeing some shouts of Jack Cogger. Look, Cogger looked pretty good last week. And he did get that try assist for To'o just on the stroke of halftime. But again, I feel like it's a position where, look, Penrith have a pretty good run. You know, I mean, Roosters, Cowboys, Knights, Melbourne, I mean, apart from maybe Melbourne, those other 3 teams can still concede points. But the way I see it is, I don't think you're going to be short on money. If you go Cleary down to him, you'll free up like 550k, but you've got to be really disciplined then to not spend all that money because you're going to want to get back to the likes of Nicho and Cleary. Moses at his price tag of 761 with his draw, I think it's reasonable, especially with a break even of 14. I'm just going to double check that break even is actually 14. Yeah, he's got a break even of 14. There's a good chance if you need to switch from Moses back to Cleary, you're not actually going to be paying that much of a difference in price. So for me, Moses I like also from that aspect too. Jerome Hughes, so I'm seeing a question from Andrew G. Dunf about what about Jerome Hughes. So with Hughes, so again, draw-wise, if I take a quick look at it again, So for Melbourne, I've actually got them second bottom over the next six. Sharks, Tigers, Manly, Penrith, a bye, and then the Roosters, not a fantastic run. And, you know, he will miss the likes of Grant and Munster in that game against the Tigers. I know we sometimes joke about the Tigers, but we can see that they're definitely way more competitive now. They're only going to be missing Coruscant, so that even that matchup away doesn't seem like the easiest one on paper. Manly, fine, maybe there's some chance of points. Penrith in round 18, standalone week. I don't love the draw for Hughes, and I just don't think he's shown enough this season, to be honest, for me to think about him. I know he's at a cheap price, but I think that's kind of for a reason, and that draw I don't like. Like, I would definitely be preferring SJ over him, and then even Moses above him as well. So Hughes has been a good option in the past, but not for me. Surreal, yeah, I've just mentioned Keary. For me, he's not a Supercoach friendly player, in my opinion. More of a good real life player, because as mentioned before, he hasn't cracked 90 so far this season, and he needs to do a lot to get points. I think someone like Moses and SJ, the goal kickers, again, it's another thing that they like, or that I like. Brandon Wakeham, I can see Ian Johnson has said that in the chat. Brandon Wakeham is 504k. He's actually so much more expensive than I thought. I did actually look at him earlier because he scored 58 last week and 119 obviously the week before. He has a negative 19 break even, so maybe in your 5'8 spot, but 5'8, again, I'd probably be looking at similar price. I'd probably be looking at like Ponga, because Ponga has essentially ruled himself out for Origin. I would probably be looking at, you know, Cody Walker, despite how expensive he is. I think there are just better options for more consistency wise, especially in the spine. I don't think you want to be messing around too much in the 5'8 spot or halfback spot. I've got a couple of other options, like even AJ Brimson, Ian. So Brimson, just if anyone is out there looking for pods, maybe instead of going the default Ponga Cody Walker route in your 5'8, he's 504k, so he's pretty much the exact same price as Brandon Wakeham. And this season, when he has played full 80 minutes, his scores are 66, 49, 56, and 76. So it's an average of about 62, I think it is. So it's not bad. And the Titans, you know, after round 16, so he obviously doesn't play 16, so he probably wouldn't be buying him this week. But after that, they don't have a buy for the rest of the season. So I don't mind going someone like a Brimson instead. But I think Wakeham, yeah, don't think he's a... He's probably not the one that I'd be going for. I do prefer someone like a Brimson. Jack Murray says, Brimo is smoky. Yeah. Shush, don't mention him. Sorry, guys. The cat's out of the bag. I've already mentioned him. He's in my expected points. I've got him at about 310. So it's not too bad in the 5'8 spot. I've got him even higher than someone like a Ponga, for example, based on a season-long average. Although Ponga, based on his kind of 5-round average, is about the same as a Brimson. Although the Knights draw isn't fantastic. So those who are maybe thinking about Ponga, if I quickly just go to the Knights draw, got them ranked kind of in the lower half of my difficulty. Broncos, we can see, are definitely a tough matchup. Look, Roosters, who knows, but then Penrith, like those next three are not great. Bulldogs and then a bye, then Tigers. Yeah, I don't love that draw, to be honest, for the Knights. I still think I'd be going Cody Walker if you could. I don't think Cody, even with missing games in round 16, round 20, the way that he's been performing, I don't think he'll get picked for Origin. I think he's still worth the premium. And look, if you're selling someone like a Dual Bags, 815k, I think Dual Bags is, you're not really having to pay up, I guess, to go to Cody. And yeah, he's got a great matchup this week against the Dragons as well. This could be, look, if he does want to stake an Origin claim, a game against the Dragons, he may want to just go big. And he's been killing it. He's got like a 5-round average of like 100 or something. It's crazy. I think his 5-round average is like 92, sorry. A 5-round average of 92. And someone like Cam Munster is still always an option, although I think people are probably more looking at selling him. Anyway, I think we've covered quite a lot of detail. I won't go through everyone I've got in this list. I've got others like Adam Reynolds, but he misses round 16 and round 19, so for me, not an option. I've got Luke Brooks in there because I thought people may want to look at Luke Brooks, but I've got his numbers there. Based on his 5-round average of 330 points, it's not too bad, but for me, Moses and Johnson stand out. And in terms of, I'll quickly answer this question from Paul. So, and then we'll probably wrap up this whole section. If Dill Bags plays, is it okay to run him and Moses? Great question, because I already own Gutherson. I own Dill Bags at the moment too. And if, let's say, Dill Bags plays and you add Moses, you've got three of the Parramatta spine. To be honest, the way I look at it and the way I try to do it, I try to do this in like Fantasy Premier League as well. I just try to assess players on their own merits. And to me, Moses is the best halfback to go for. It shouldn't matter that I also own Gutherson and Dilbags. As I showed earlier, over the next six, I think Parramatta do have the best draw. So yes, there's always a reason to say, oh, maybe I should diversify away from a team. But there's also nothing wrong with going all in on a good attacking team like Parramatta when they've got a really good run coming up. So I think if Dilbags plays, I still don't have an issue going Moses. I believe in round 13 as well, Moses went 95, Dilbags went 85, Gutherson went like 81. Like all three of them can do well in the same game. So for me, no issues going on Moses if you already own a lot of other Parramatta players like a Hopgood, etc. I mean, SJ, yes, I think we're all very happy to see SJ doing well. I still prefer Mitch Moses, in my opinion. Brooks is a lock for Origin. All right, I think it's ready to go to the next section. I think we're starting to get a little bit crazy here about the halves and the 5/8. All right, so I guess obviously the next biggest, wow, that was 26 minutes. Wow. Am I going to sell Dilbags? It's very difficult to answer right now. I need to wait and see what happens tomorrow for information-wise, because let's say he's out, Cleary's out, and Fifita's out. Yes, we will need to make a decision as to who of those two, three would you sell. If he's out, and I assume for a long period of time, I'd probably sell. And I'd probably sell him for, well, to be honest, I haven't really thought about it, but I can via duels. I could sell Cleary and Dilbags and go SJ and Moses. I have no issues running the pair of them. Because at the moment, I already own Cody Walker. I prefer SJ to someone like a Ponga, to maybe a Brimson. Like, I don't think there's any issue going with both of them, to be honest. So, yeah, for me, I could easily do that as well. All right. Second row forwards, obviously the next biggest talking point is Dave Fifita. So Fifita obviously out this week. He'll probably miss round 16 with Origin. He'll miss round 19 with Origin. So if you look at the next 6 weeks, he'll play 18. And then the only full game he'll have is round 18. And then he'll maybe potentially be backing up 17 and 20. Now, 17 and 20, he does have three-day rests, so there's a good chance he could play, but, you know, we've already seen that the Titans have been fairly conservative in managing him. Maybe there's a chance that they do the same again. So he may only play one full game, 80 minutes, in the next 6 weeks. At 900K, I think he is. I haven't got his price actually in front of me. Sorry, let me do that very quickly. 897K, and he's got 149 break-even. Like, it's tough, because, like, to be honest, I was somewhat tempted to sell him last week, but when I saw that he was named to play, I thought, cool, I'll hold him. Even when he got moved to the bench, I started thinking about it again, but I thought if he was named on the bench, I thought he was going to play 50, 60 minutes, so I decided to hold. I'm sure if we all thought and all knew that he was going to play 30 minutes, I think a lot more of us would have sold. I was already thinking about selling him, and given the depth of second row forward options that we have, I think there's a fair shout in selling Fifita, because I think you're just going to miss too many games over the next few weeks. Now, it does become very difficult about, you know, you've got all these guys that you need to bring back. Like, I've sold Nicho Hynes. If I sell Dilbags, Cleary, Fifita, and Nicho Hynes, 100% I need to try get them back. I've sold Harry Grant. So, you very big question as to, you know, do you sell him? I've seen a few people have been a little bit varying on this. Some people have said, yeah, clear sell. You know, I pulled some questions up from Twitter and also from YouTube. Do we look at trading Fifita? What to do with Fifita since he isn't playing this week and he also misses 16 and 19? At that value, I mean, you can go Fifita down to Brent Nicara and almost bank 200K. And I think if you're selling someone like Cleary to Moses, you're getting another like 100K, for example. I think just be very disciplined with your money, but I see no issue selling Fifita, because I think if he plays reduced minutes again in round 17 and again in round 20, there's a chance that, now thinking about it more, if seeing what we saw on the weekend in terms of his minutes, if he, with 150 break even, comes out and scores like 60s, he could very easily come back to like 700-750K, which is still a lot of money, but I think it's still a lot easier to get back to than maybe what I previously thought. So for me, yes, look, I think Fifita is someone that you can look to sell. Not as easy of a sell as someone like, say, a Cleary, for example, because I think Cleary, we just have a very definitive period of time that he will be out for. Fifita, you know, you can, if you arguably have the depth already in 2RF, Let's say you sell dual bags instead for a second row forward via Josh Schuster. I don't think that's a bad play either. You know that Fifita won't burn you in terms of, you know, he won't lose value this week. Again, you could do the approach of, I wait a week, maybe decide about who's my best replacement. And then maybe round 16, when you know he's definitely out, maybe you look to buy someone at that point. But I think definitely very valid to sell Fifita this week. If I had, I mean, let's just do this now because I think these are the top three guys. Assuming Dilbag is out, who are the priority in order of selling Cleary, Fifita, and Dilbags? For me, I would probably sell Cleary above Dilbags just because I think, assuming you don't have duels, I think the replacements at halfback are way better than the replacements at 5'8" if you've already have Cody. I'd probably rank Moses above Cody just given the number of games I think he'll play. So I think for me, Cleary would still be my number one sell because also the type of the injury is a hamstring. So I think Cleary is my number one sell. I think number two would probably be Fifita. Again, based on the fact that he has probably a lot better replacements that you could go to. Dual bags number three, because I think if you wait a week on him, assuming you already own Cody, you know, I think you're in that position where you can just sell Fifita this week and you could just sell dual bags next week via Schuster and you can maybe double up on two RFs. So that's kind of just talking it out. That's kind of the way I'd be prioritizing, I think, who to sell out of those three. So yeah, that's kind of, I guess, my thoughts on those. Now, in terms of some of the replacements, quickly saw this comment. It made me smile from Blake saying my question made it on the screen. You're famous. Tell your mum, tell your mother that you made it. You've made it. In terms of the best replacements for Fifita, lots of questions about Bateman and Nicara. Last week on Tuesday, I was initially very keen on Bateman, which I still am. But come Friday when I did the stream, when people asked, I said, I think I would take Nicara. And Nicara ended up about 69 points and Bateman obviously turned up and scored 102. Now, looking at the stats between Nicara and Bateman, last three games base power, pretty similar. Bateman's actually pretty impressive, 61, 67, and 75. Nicara, 64, 59, 63. In terms of draw difficulty between the two of them, Sharks round 16 game is definitely better against the Dogs. Tigers do have Melbourne, although without their origin contingent. After both of these guys have very good draws, or the Sharks especially have a very good draw on the run home. But just looking at their stats and also looking at break evens, I would buy Bateman this week over Nicara. He's at a break even of 11. I think Bateman's stats are impressive. I think he's got similar base power numbers to Nicara and is a little bit cheaper. And I think with Nicara with a break even of 90, fairly tough matchup. I think you can maybe wait for him to go down a little bit in price. And then I think next week, I'd probably stagger it as Bateman this week. You can buy Nicara next week. Kalomatungi, I'm not including, I think, in that conversation, purely because I think Kalomatungi is a good shout for Origin. Given this injury to Cam Murray, he's in doubt as well. I do think that Kalomatungi is a bit of a risk in that sense. He only will play four of the next six as well, so I think that kind of also reduces some of the appeal to him too. Granted, his draw is good, but just I would take Bateman or Nicara, given that they play that one game extra over him. And for me, just looking at those break evens and those stats, like Bateman's is pretty impressive. Yeah, I would, and he's got a Titans matchup this week. Definitely can score a lot of points there. So for me, I would go Bateman this week, and then you can maybe grab Nicara next week. That's how I would be prioritizing it. Fifita to Bateman, 250, 60k, whatever it is, easy as, you'll take that. So that's how I would rank Bateman or Nicara. Wouldn't be considering Kalomatungi out of that conversation, given that he misses 16, and I think he's a chance for Origin, because I think Kalomatungi can play middle and edge, so I think he's maybe a bit more versatile, and that might be what New South Wales want. Now, another guy I wanted to mention on this, well, another two in more detail was Hopgood and Tino for Sumulaawi. So there was a question from Jason in the chat, is Fifita to Tino sideways? I don't think it's sideways. Tino just seems to be an absolute machine. He just backs up and still plays big minutes. Looking at his numbers from last week, just the weekend gone, he still played 59 minutes coming off the bench. He's the captain, so I think he's always going to back up, or he's always going to want to back up. And I think he's fairly young from memory, isn't he? He's like, 22, 23 years old? He could be even, I don't know, but he's a pretty young fella. Like, I think he would just be like, he's in that age where just like, recovery wise, they just seem to be like him and Payne Haas, for example, they seem to be very similar in that way. And I think the two games that they back up for in round 17, 20 is a 3-day turnaround. So it's a little bit better than even what they had on the last weekend. So I think Tino, look, he's very expensive at 770K. If I could, I'd prefer to get him at front row forward just because he's got that dual. And I think you've got a lot of other good 2RFs. But I don't think it's sideways because Tino's numbers are pretty incredible as well. Last three games, base power, 62, 94, 72. So on the weekend, I know he scored that try, but even without that, 72 points. Like if he just did base power, 72 points, you'd absolutely take that. And he's got a low break even. I still prefer Bateman, I think, just because you know that Bateman's not going to get affected at all by Origin. There's still some risk with Tino, I guess, in backing up and whatnot. And so for me, I would probably still lean towards the likes of Bateman or Nicara just because you know that they don't have any of that Origin risk. But I do like Tino a lot. I think he's actually someone who, at least for me personally, I find I always tend to underrate him from a Supercoach point of view. But actually, he's just an out-and-out gun. And I think maybe next year I'm going to try to have a thing where I start with him because he always seems to jag attacking stats as well. So Tino, I think, is good. Jermaine Hopgood. So Hopgood, I think, shouldn't be overlooked as well. We know what a base power monster he is. We talked about the Parramatta draw. It's very good. He can get those attacking stats. The only reason I'd probably just slightly lean away from Hopgood if you don't already own. Ownership is high. Maybe there's an opportunity to antipod him, go a little bit lower owned with a Nicara or a Bateman. Also with Hopgood, Campbell Gillard is back this week. The likes of Ryan Madison will be coming back in the next couple of weeks as well. So I think right now he's good, but I think eventually his minutes will again start to maybe become a little bit more into question. Nicara, Bateman, there's no doubt they're 80-minute guys for the rest of the season, you can pretty much guarantee. So for me, Hopgood, I think I slightly rank below Bateman, Nicara, and Tino. I'd probably put Hopgood in fourth, and I'd probably put him a little bit above Katoa. Katoa, the reason with Katoa, the draw doesn't look great. I know he's pretty good on the numbers-wise as well, but his base power numbers, the last two, 45, 55, like the other guys, I think are just putting up much better stats, in my opinion, in terms of our underlying base power. So for me, Katoa, I think I'd still lean those other guys as well. Now, Hosking. So we'll quickly mention Hosking, given that there was lots of questions about him. So two questions on him. Best replacements for Hosking post round 16. Look, I'll probably tackle that question in more detail, I think, when we get to that period of time. But it'll probably be some of the same names again. And is Hosking still a hold this round and during the Origin period? So very strange with Hosking. He still played like 64 minutes last week, but he only played 32. He only scored like what? What did he even score last week? I've already wiped it from my memory because it wasn't good enough, put it that way. Yeah, 39 points. so his base power was 43, but he had 4 points in negative stats, hence why his base power was higher than his score from last week. Minutes wise, he did have that 131 minute game, but even before that, the last 4 weeks, we've got a 68 minute game, 31 minutes, 63, 64. So he's not quite getting the 80 minutes. It's a standalone week. Look, I think Hosking for me, I'll play him for sure until round 16. And I think after that, I may look to trade him earlier. I may even trade him in round 18, just because I'm thinking round 17 again, with that being a week straight after Origin, it might just be helpful to have depth. And especially with Fifita being out this week, I think that probably means he's probably who someone I would be trying to prioritize selling over Hosking. But Hosking will sit there just as some depth coverage, I think. But definitely round 19, I think I'd probably be looking to sell at that point. But I think for now, he's kind of like, look, he's lost some of his value, which isn't ideal. As Joey Martin fan says, he's mid, he's Christian Walsh, but in the 2RF. Yeah, those last few scores that he's thrown up are not great. 28, 53, and 39 is not ideal. 5-round average of 48 is not quite the guy that we all bought in for. So he's only made like now... he's only like 30k up on his initial price tag that we purchased him for. So I don't know. Hopefully he comes back and plays a little bit more minutes. But I think for me, Hosking, I'll probably sell in round 17. He has the Knights, and that's a difficult week, so I probably will keep him that week. Round 18 against Melbourne before the bye in round 19. Round 18 is probably when I think I'd be looking to offload, but not at this point in time. Both Bateman and Nicara missed 17 together. That's from Davey K. And that's again another reason why, like, I really like Bateman and Nicara, but you want to make sure that you can cover them in round 17, which is why holding on to someone like Hosking, who plays Jacob Preston, for example, will miss out two. That could be a very difficult week to cover. So hopefully you've got some coverage there. And I think this is why, if you're selling Hosking for Nicara or Hosking for Bateman, just remember that you will miss these guys in round 17. Hosking plays that week. That, again, is another reason why I think selling Fifita to one of these guys is probably the route that I would take instead. Don't think Melbourne's run is as bad as it looks. Yeah, Sharkies do tend to struggle against top eight sides. I agree with that from Saska. Yeah, the only question with Munster, Meany, Grant, Hughes, Munster and Grant won't be there for every game. That's the only thing. So look, Katoa could still be an option, even if you're looking at Jerome Hughes, but I think I prefer just others in their positions. On this table below me, I've got a few other people like IPAP, Teague Wilton, Jackson Ford, we'll talk about a little bit later, Preston. I think these are guys who, like, you know, you're probably not looking to buy, but hopefully this kind of expected points table in terms of how many games they play might help inform who you might look to hold on to. Yeah, I think overall that kind of covers off my thoughts on some of those gun 2RFs. All right, so moving on, we'll move. I think the rest of the sections probably won't take as long as those two. I can see we've already gone for 41 minutes and we've only spoken about 2RFs and halfback and 5/8. So hopefully we'll try to fly through some of these a little bit quicker, but hopefully you all enjoyed that very, very deep dive. So now onto center wing targets. So a couple of questions that I've grabbed from Twitter and from the YouTube post. Nick Meany or Jermaine Asako? So this is a question that I've seen a few people ask about. Is it still okay to buy someone like a Jermaine Asako or Nick Meany? Look, if you're asking me someone to buy for the rest of the season, I would buy Asako. I think he's just shown, I mean, junk time Jermaine, absolute king. But for me, I think I'd buy Meany this week just for that round 16 coverage. And despite the Storm, if they're not looking good, he's still, as the goal kicker and as the fullback, just noticing the couple of tries that he got last week as well, he's definitely injecting himself a little bit more in the attack than probably he was at the beginning of the season. I think he's good for a safe 60 most weeks, and then one try assist and he's getting to that 75-ish mark that he's averaging. So I really like Meany, and I think the fact that he covers 16, I probably would prioritize him over Asako. Now they do play the same amount of games over the next six, and so on that basis Asako's numbers are way better because his season average is 81 and he's been killing it recently. But I think if you're buying for, like, if you're looking for that round 16 cover, then I would probably go Meany at this point. Ian Johnson saying Manu to Meany. Just quickly on Manu, I've got him on the screen here. I wouldn't be selling Manu if you own. I know last week's score was pretty poor with like 40 something. He's got 116 break even, but I'm just looking at round 16. Newcastle away, where he's without, especially now without Joseph Suli'i in the squad, given his suspension. Maybe there would have been a consideration that Manu wouldn't have played fullback because Suli'i can play there. But now that he's out of the picture as well, Manu playing at fullback is just like a super coach god. Like, he's just an absolute super coach god. So for me, Manu, you absolutely, I think, want to be keeping him next week. If you want to sell him after that, be my guest, because he's got that buy in round 19. Ian, I think don't worry about looking at the break even, because I think if you're already selling the likes of Cleary, Dealbags, Fifita, you're not going to be short money. You can probably cop a 50k price drop on Manu, but think about it this way. Would you rather, I don't know, I'm just looking at next week. Like, that's a ton of potential written all over it next week against the Knights playing at fullback. So yeah, I would discourage anyone from selling Manu next week. Who goes to 5/8? Drew Hutchinson can cover at 5/8 next week when the Origin players are out. Manu back to fullback, Hutchinson to 5/8. I think that's probably what they'd end up doing, in my opinion. If it doesn't happen, then obviously I've got egg on my face. But no, I like Manu next week. Very quickly on some of the Sharks plays, so Mulitalo and Talakai. So I think what Saska mentioned before about how the Sharks have somewhat struggled over the last 2 years. Sorry, that's a typo on Talakai. He doesn't have a break even of 5. It's 52. I missed the 2. I would be looking to maybe wait a week on some of the Sharks center wings, because Mulitalo's got a high-ish break-even of 91, Talakai 52. I haven't got them on the screen here just because I ran out of space, but if you are looking at others like Sione Katoa or Jesse Ramien, Katoa's got a break-even of 70 and he's 550k. Ramien is break-even of 54 at 510k. So they're all kind of similar. Well, those two are similar. Mulitalo and Talakai are a bit more expensive. I still think Mulitalo is the one that I would prefer the most. He bombed a few tries on the weekend and still ended up scoring like 60 plus. He just seems to get the attacking stats more so, I think, than any of the other backs in the Sharks. He seems to be, he scored 51, sorry, I should say. 51 points with no tries or anything like that is pretty good. So for me, Mulitalo seems to still be the one that I'm looking to go for if I was investing in a Sharks back. But I think for me, I would be waiting a week. Just tough matchup. And they do also have that bye in round 17. But the run home from round 18 for the Sharks is very, very good. So I think you can buy the Sharks backs in round 16 against the Knights and look to hold them even through that round 17 bye, because their run home is really good. Like, looking at round 18 onwards, there's no more buys left for them. And they've got those, even the first 4 weeks back from round 18, Dragons, Tigers, Warriors, and Manly. It does go into Penrith and Rabbitohs, but then you've got Titans, Cowboys, Knights, Canberra. Like, apart from that Penrith and Rabbitohs game, arguably there's no games there that would scare you off, I guess, from playing your Sharks centre wingers. So yeah, really like buying them, I think, in round 16. Few other options that I've got in the table below me. Karaz, you know, Karaz was obviously a very popular trade in last week. He's got a break even of 51, relatively tough matchup against Parramatta. For me, I was never really too keen on him last week anyway. So again, this week I kind of feel the same. You know, he's got this elbow injury, so that might hamper him. On this question here, from who do I go out of Manu, Garrick, or Mazu? I mean, I spoke about it before. The Knights' draw is not fantastic. Garrick at centre, I don't like. Someone's just asked in the chat, is he a sell at centre? I probably wouldn't sell him just because he does cover 16. And in 16, if Turbo is playing fullback, I guess KL Weeks would go back there. So I guess there's still a chance that Garrick doesn't go back to the wing. I don't know. Can we just take 30 seconds and be, what is Seibold doing? Just put Garrick on the wing where he's good, and then in the bye week, just put him at fullback where he's good. Stop messing around. Just keep, don't play around with Ruben. Don't mess around with our Supercoach boy. He's so good on the wing or at fullback, and he's playing in the center. Didn't work for them in NRL. Didn't work for us in Supercoach. It's a lose-lose. Don't think he's a sell, just for the round 16 coverage, and hopefully he just goes back to the wing sooner rather than later. And yeah, that's a good point from Joey Marner fan. That was from Hamish Ashley. Gregosaurus doesn't need easy opponents. Yeah, how can we forget Gregosaurus' unreal performance last week? Well, not last week, the week before. 130 points. I think if I was going Manu, Garrick, or Mazu, definitely not Garrick. Garrick would be the third on my list, just if he's playing at centre. I don't like that at all. 658k, so Mazu is 50k more expensive than Manu. Broncos, Roosters, Panthers, Bulldogs. I mean, he's got 42 against Panthers. I'm looking at some of his games against tougher matchups. I mean, what did he get against the Sharks? 49. He has got a couple of lower scores against those tough teams. So I think arguably I'd still go Manu just because of that round 16 game. After that, though, I probably would take Mazu. Mazu does also miss 16. I just don't love that next 4 weeks for Mazu. I think his ceiling is somewhat capped. Hopefully I'm wrong because I own him. But I think Manu, especially just next week, I think will be great. After that, I think, yeah, you probably would go Mazu instead. Gets tried out of nowhere. That is one thing that shouldn't be understated too. Kalen Ponga back and playing through this whole origin period is good things for Manu and down that left side. Jeez, now that's thinking about making me go Mazu instead. Yeah, draws not. Yeah, okay, fine. I'll change my answer slightly. I think I would just take Mazu over Manu, because I think Mazu is much more likely to be a season-long keeper. Manu, arguably not. Eventually, Sam Walker could come back, and Manu could go back to centre. So yeah, actually, I would probably take Mazu over Manu. Just sorry, I've not finished my table. Charles Nicol Kluksad, I've done him dirty. His numbers have not been populated there, but if we want to do some math on the fly. Five games coming up, season average of 62, so that's 310 points I would have, and a five-round average of 72, that's 360 points. So, okay, I'm surprised that I did the math so quick on that one. I hope I'm not wrong. But Nicol Kluksad, I think, should not be overlooked as well. A -9 break-even, he's been absolutely killing it the last 2 weeks. I still think I'd prefer Nick Meaney to him, for example. I'd probably still buy... I would buy a Sarko over him. I think Nicholas Cluxart has been good. He's looked good on the eye as well. But yeah, no, I think there are a couple of other guys I prefer. I've got Katoni Staggs on this list here. So I know Katoni Staggs, I think, was getting up there in terms of the top traded and center wings. Look, he had a great game last week, but let me just go back and read his scores between rounds 13. Let me just read out the scores and hopefully you guys get the picture. 96 last week, great. 39, 41, 47, 25, 38, 45, 28, 42, 52, 65. The last time he cracked 60 before last week was in round 4. Doesn't play 16, doesn't play 19, not for me. So anyone thinking about Katoni Staggs, not for me. Yeah, not for me. All right. I think we've covered off the center wings as well. Very, very quickly, I'll go to Buller, because I think Buller is one of the top Trent, one of the top 10 traded in players. Too late for Buller? I don't think so. I think anyone out there who didn't jump on Buller yet, I would be going still Buller. Mentioned it on last week's stream, or on the stream on Sunday. He's 570k, but if you saw a 571k fullback who's averaging 73 with a 5-round average of 80 with a negative 56 break-even, would you buy him? Probably. He plays 16, plays 19. Yeah. For me, I would be going Buller for sure. It's still as a buy if you haven't got him yet. That's pretty much all I'm going to say on Buller, I think, to be honest. I think if people are out there wanting to buy him, no qualms. Someone in the chat has mentioned Dallin Watene-Zelezniak as a center wing pod. Minus 14 break even, 634K. Oh my God, he's so much more expensive than I thought. He was 470K in round 9. And since then, he's gone up by like 160K. Wow. Wowza. To be fair, his scores have been good all season. He's got like his two lowest scores are 36 and 38. 36 from a center wing is fine, especially as a winger. He's got pretty good base. He's averaging 28 base. It's okay. But other scores, 99, 52, 50, 128, 85. I can't fault it. He's got a 5-round average of 71. So it's not even though like it's a small sample size. He's done pretty good over 5 games. And if you're not buying an SJ, but you want to still get a piece of the Warriors attack, he has looked pretty good. So look, I still can't fight getting someone like a DWZ. You can get DWZ, you can get CNK, whatever SJ, whatever abbreviation takes your fancy. So I'm seeing here from Zachary as well. Yeah, look, I don't think Watene-Zelezniak is a bad buy by any means. I still just prefer maybe the more proven, like a mini he's done over the entire season. DWZ has only come back in round 7. Asako, I think I prefer to him. But look, if you're not completely sold on like a Mazu or a Manu, he's about the same price. I don't see an issue going with him. You can, you know, at least make some money out of him with a minus 14 break even. Last two games are pretty good high scoring. And look, Raiders this week, I think, is a fine matchup. He has a buy in round 16, which isn't great. But Dragons out in round 17, he could again be a nice option in that week where a lot of people are struggling for numbers. And that could just be a game where, you know, completely unaffected by Origin and he can score well. And yeah, so I think that's also perfectly reasonable as well to go with Tenny Zelezniak. Would I trade one of Kennedy or Gutho? I wouldn't be trading Gutherson just now that I think if Dillbags is out, I think he will just take more of a greater role with Parramatta. I've got them ranked best for draw-wise. No, so I wouldn't be selling Kennedy or Gutherson. There was a question someone had asked about Edwards. They traded in Edwards last week. Now with Cleary out, look, Edwards obviously didn't have a great game Supercoach-wise last week. I think he scored about 39 points. I mean, Roosters this week is not a great matchup. Does have 114 break even. I can see the merit in going Edwards to Buller. You're freeing up some cash and you're getting that money back with a minus 56 break even. So to answer this person's question, bust a trade on Edwards to Buller. I don't hate it. I think it's fine. Dream the dream, as Alex says. Dream the dream. What a man. Yep. What a man. And yeah, look, I think obviously if you've already gone Edwards, yeah, look, yeah, as the Joey Miners fan says, suck it up. Buller can make another 100K this week. Minus 56 break even is nuts. Absolutely. I think there's no reason to not get on Buller, to be honest. I've highlighted Drinkwater here, but not many people I think will be buying him with the buy this week. But he's been killing it still. So I think he's just someone that you should maybe just keep in mind. Maybe after round 19, when all of his buys are out of the way, And the draw's not fantastic either. Could be maybe a potential run-home option for the Cowboys. All right, we're going to fly, I think, through some of these last little sections. I've got quickly other sells. So I know there's a few other players that people are maybe looking at offloading. So Billy Smith is one. Break-even of 60. Look, I think if all this other carnage hadn't happened with Fifita, Cleary, Dilbags, I probably would have been tempted to sell Smith this week as well, because it's a game against Penrith. He probably will start losing money. But I think now the fact that we've got these other bigger fires to deal with, in my opinion, I think by nature, he just happens to stay in your team again for another week. If you haven't managed to somehow avoid all these fires, I think 16 is a week that's easy to cover. So I think he's a perfectly reasonable sell, but not a must sell, I think, now, given the current climate with all these other big outs. Tyrone Peachy hasn't been named for the Panthers, so I'm just going to quickly double check here. Yeah, he's been named on the reserves for the Panthers, so you could look to move him on, but he's got a pretty low break even, and I think next week with Origin, I think he'll come back into the team for Penrith, because Isaiah Yeo will be out, Liam Martin will be out. I think there'll be a spot there for Peachy to play. So for me, if I was owning Tyrone Peachy, I would be holding him just for at least that round 16 coverage, and then after that I would probably be moving him on, and he's got that handy jewel that lets you do some kind of switching. Reed Marnie. So I own Reed Marnie as well. Few people are selling him this week. Look, I think it comes down to personal team setup. I own Damien Cook, so for me, I don't have a problem covering for Marnie in my hooker spot. So for me, at 479k, 100 break even, which is god awful to look at, I'll probably hold on to Marnie this week. But a player we'll get onto into the next section in Jake Turpin. I think if you've, again, managed to avoid fires, I think you can probably go Reed Marnie down to Jake Turpin and free up some money, because I think Marnie, look, he covers 16 and 19, but if he's out for you this week and you need the depth, then look, I probably would sell Marnie as well. Like, it's not been any good. And you can go maybe down to someone like a Jake Turpin, for example. Who would I smell Billy Smith to? Hard to say. I mean, for the price, you're not probably getting a lot of players potentially. Let's take a quick look. Let's do center wing filtered under 400k. So this is talking, if we're talking, if you have really no cash to splash. I mean, your options are not great. You've got like a Richie Kentner, Junior Paoga, Jackson Paolo, Valens Tavare. Oh, okay. Let's give you a bit more money to spend, and let's go up to 500k. It would probably be Karaz, to be honest, then, at 486k. So looking at sub 500k, yeah, it would probably be Karaz for that 16-19 coverage. It's probably who I'd sell Billy Smith for. It's about 100k difference in the two of them. Cheaper than him, we'll get onto some of the cheaper options in the next little slide, but honestly, center wing wise, it's probably only Valens Tavare, because Blake Wilson, he's not been named either for the Bulldogs, so you can't even rely on him this week as a downgrade. Although maybe next week you could, if Addo Carr is playing Origin. You could go Xavier Coates. I mean, Coates is so inconsistent. What did he score last week? I mean, he scored a try last week, and didn't he? And he scored 51 points, which is decent. But I mean, before that, 11, 17, 14, 47, 19... Nah, I don't like it. I don't like it. He started at 466. He's now 287. I think it was for a reason. And it's not like that draw is amazing either. Nah, I don't like Coates. Yeah, I mean, maybe Coates. To be honest, I guess, yeah, it would be Karaz, Staggs, Coates. Karaz for sure. Staggs or Coates. Oh, God. I'd probably still take Staggs. At least Staggs has some base about him. I know he misses 16-19, but I think Broncos overall a bit better. And then, yeah, probably Karaz, Staggs, Coates as your Billy Smith replacements around the same price. Taruva, maybe you could even go Taruva. Could you go back to Taruva? Scored 60 last week. well, he's 511k. Maybe not. He's gone up a bit more than price. I'd probably go Karaz instead, actually. And yeah, look, Blake Wilson, I think we'll touch on Blake Wilson in the next part. Harry Grant. Now, I think if you're owning Grant, high break even, because there's no other, like, hooker spot is so up in the air. Damien Cook could get a shout next week as well with Origin. I just don't see that many fantastic replacements. So for me, Grant, I think if I was owning Grant, I'd probably just hold him. Probably wouldn't be selling him. Jackson Ford, similar thing, not a must sell. We spoke about him a little bit more detail last week. He did play the full 80. again, a manageable break, even a 50. I think you can maybe look again to wait a week, see what the minutes look like, because there were some injuries last week with the Warriors that did affect the rotation. Sonny Luke, not named this week, probably would be selling him for a Turpin, is probably the one who I think I'd go to. And Harrison Edwards, who I own, I'll probably hold Edwards at least until round 16, because he's named at starting lock, and we think he can probably bang out about a 50 points in that period of time. And I think I'll hold him for another couple of weeks, and then probably round 17, 18, I'll probably sell him to try to create some funds, to probably try to build a bit of a bank to try to get back a lot of those origin guns. I'll end this section as what Jake Young says. If you're deciding between Stags and Coates, I feel bad for you. I do. I agree. Joey Manu will sell. Nah, not in my opinion. Not with that game coming up in round 16. Now, on to some other downgrades. So, Valens Tavare, again, named on the bench. Branko Lee has been named. I don't think Tavare is an option still with a 41 break even. Carl Oluwapu, I think, not enough upside there and for me at 5'8", which is such a high ceiling spot. Luke Metcalf looked good last week. He's got a negative break even, but I think Valens Tavare will be back after the bye in round 17. I think he'll just take Metcalf's spot. So I think short-term job security risk is too high for me for Metcalf. Jake Turpin is probably the hooker to go for. If you're like a Sonny Luke owner, or you're looking to raise money if you're selling Reed Marnie, scored about 52 points on the weekend, played 62 minutes, which was encouraging. I've got some of his numbers for games where he's played over 50 minutes this season. Not amazing, 43, 25, 25, and 55. So, look, he could more or less deliver about the same as Sonny Luke, but at least you know that he's playing for the time being. He will cover round 16 for you. So I think he's someone who probably is a cheap hooker, is who I'd go for. You've got Tanner Boyd maybe in that spot, but he's a bit more expensive. He is 505k, so he's much more expensive than I thought. So you probably wouldn't be going Tanner Boyd. Jacob Little is maybe the only other option, but he scored 37 last week, and I'm not even 100% sure if he's been named this week. Let me quickly double check that. He has been named at number 9, but Moses Zambai on the bench could maybe take some minutes off him as well. But yeah, Turpin, I mean, hook spot is so meh. I think you probably won't lose out much going down to him. And Brandon Smith should be back, I think, about round 19. A couple of other maybe downgrades. We probably won't talk about Sami Solo now. He's been named on the bench. Junior Paolga from the Roosters maybe is a downgrade if you're really looking to go down from Billy Smith at 265k, at least the next 3 weeks. Without Joseph Suoli'i, he'll probably be available for you, but you don't have to jump on this week. It's a tough game against Penrith. I think you can wait a week for sure. Samuela Fainu from Manly, named again starting edge. He has a benefit that he might get dual. So if you are looking for a downgrade in your front row forward, for example, like let's say if you're fine with your round 16 numbers and you want to go Harrison Edwards down to someone, he's probably the person who I'd be going to is Fainu, because there's a good chance he gets dual status at the round 18 update. And Jobo will still be out for the next couple of weeks as well. Now, Ray Stone, we'll quickly talk about Ray Stone as well. A lot of other people asking about him. And yeah, look, to be honest, at his price tag at 386k, he's probably the next best hooker downgrade to go for. Probably better than Jake Turpin, to be honest, because it's been confirmed that Tom Gilbert is out for the season. So I think, I know Stone has played at a lock last week, and he played pretty good minutes. And he's got, the thing is, he's done very well in games where he's played over 50 minutes this season. So over 50 minute games this season, 42, I've got it on my screen, 42, 45, 40, 54, 64. You would happily take that, I think, as a backup hooker. He does have dual second row forward and hooker, very handy. A break even of 3. He does have the buy in round 16. So this is one where I think if you can wait, see another week of minutes, and also you'll be able to see what happens when Felice Kaufusi is back. Because I expect Kaufusi to be named on the edge for the Dolphins when he comes back. I'm just going to take a quick look at the team list for the Dolphins. So yeah, they've got Kenny Bromwich, Lemuelu, and Ray Stone as the two back rowers and the lock. I'll just be interested to see what happens if when Kaufusi comes back. I think Lemuelu will stay on his edge. Maybe Kenny Bromwich goes back to lock, because we have seen that with Kenny Bromwich. So again, this is kind of why I think if you can wait a week on Ray Stone, you could. But I think if you have to go for a downgrade, I do rate him a little bit higher than Turpin. Oh, he was playing a hooker last week. Apologies. Yeah, so he was rotating with Jared Wallace, wasn't it? Which is crazy to think about Jared Wallace as a dummy half. But Jeremy Marshall King is back, and he's an 80-minute guy. So I think that's why I think Stoner's probably going to be around that middle rotation. So it'd be nice to see what happens with him when Kafusi's back. But he's probably going to be a very solid little option for you as a kind of a rotatable 2RF hooker. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that. All right, we'll quickly fly through. We're going on for so long, the stream. Captaincy this week. I did have Fifita in here, but without him now, he's not an option. So for me, vice captain wise, I think Jareem the Dream, Gold Coast Titans, we can see how good an option he's been. I think Buller is fine as a VC option. Jermaine Asako for sure against a Manly team who still are leaky to centre wings. They've the third worst at averaging point or conceding points to centre wings, so I like Asako. But for me, Cody Walker is probably the guy who I'm going to VC. Just Dragons matchup. Although, funnily enough, last year against the Dragons away is when the Dragons came out with that crazy first half performance. So maybe we see the same thing again. But for me, it's either going to be, I think, one of Buller or Walker. I kind of just feel them. In terms of captaincy, if I buy Mitch Moses this week, I'll probably be captaining Mitch Moses. You could go safe and maybe with like a Hopgood. No Cleary, no Fifita. Makes him a little bit difficult. Well, it makes things a bit more interesting captain-wise this week. I think if you're a Reece Walsh owner, I would probably captain him as well. I'd probably go, if you could, VC Cody and captain Walsh. You can maybe go VC Alex Johnston, as Aaron is suggesting. Well, he's suggesting captain. I don't think I'd be captaining Alex Johnston, but maybe VC. Hamish is asking AJ or Buller VC. I think I'd go Buller VC because I think Buller's just, well, he's shown a ceiling, right? And I think the matchups, Titans without Fifita, just seeing how many points the Titans concede, I think that Buller has got a higher chance here of more points. So yeah, I'd probably go Buller VC. Corey Oates, nah, not for me. Captain Billy Smith, you're going for a double. I hope he gets a double, even if he's on my bench, but just so he doesn't lose money. And yeah, Hopgood, I think, is a perfectly fine captain option this week as well. I think he'll still get good minutes and will be safe, like 70 plus, to be honest. If you own Hines, though, I think you could just default to Hines. We saw even in a tough matchup where Sharks scored 12 points, he still pumped 90 points. So for me, very safe option as well. Is owning Brown and Moses a bad idea? Mitchell, I would suggest if you've joined late, do scroll back to that part because I do talk about that in quite a bit of detail. But long story short, I don't see an issue having both of them. If Titans concede a lot to fullbacks, yeah, so Titans, in terms of what they average to fullbacks, they're sixth worst. So it's a pretty good matchup for fullbacks. So again, I like a Buller VC. I think he's going to be a good shout. What I like about Moses is that Bulldogs are the fourth worst at conceding points to halfbacks. So I think it's a great matchup for Moses if you bring him in this week. Rusty Mouse, SJ or Moses, go into this in quite a bit of detail, but my preference is Moses. So I do suggest scrolling back. I'll try to put timestamps as well, given how long this stream is as well. All right, I think my voice is starting to fail me. That's pretty much it I had to cover, I think, for this week. Donge, I'll answer your question because you've asked it about four times. Is Isaiah Tass a buy? Not this week with the buy next week, but maybe a good pod shout. He's almost 600K. So he's minus 24 break even. If you're going for a pod, I can't fault it. Five round average of 69. He is looking better and better. prior to the last 2 weeks, he did have scores of 33, 39, 61. He's got pretty good base stats. Base average of 34 is quite solid. Only the one game over 100. I think he's more likely to be like a 65, 70 type guy. I think the likes of Amini or Asako are a bit more likely to get you a ton. So I still prefer them, but negative break even, good draw coming up. I don't mind it. Only issue, again, with Rabbitohs players is that they still have three buys left, 16, 20, and 26. So again, something to be mindful of as well is that if you're picking guys for the long term, Rabbitohs players will miss a few extra games, but I don't mind it for his price. So I'll very quickly touch on my team. I probably won't be able to do a full question and answer, guys. Apologies given how long the stream's already been going on for. But I can't promise a Q&A stream this week. But stay tuned for my newsletter. I will be looking to send that out tomorrow. Hopefully that answers a few more of your questions as well. But yeah, in terms of my team, to be honest, I haven't given a whole heap of thought. At the moment, I have Sol Cleary for Moses and I've got the armband on him. Aside from that, I haven't set up my team really apart much more than that. If I was probably going to do another trade this week, really comes down to what happens with dual bags. I would probably sell Fifita though over him, just based on some of my reasoning from before. And to be honest, I'd probably buy John Bateman this week. I mentioned that I like Bateman over him as a buy for this week. Good matchup as well. So that would probably be my second trade if I did those moves. Even if Dilbags doesn't play this week, I'll probably just leave the reserve off him and I'll probably reserve like a Schuster instead. It means I have to play Christian Welch, assuming Reid Marnie isn't fit, but I think the rest of the team is okay. It's not fantastic, but I like some of the matchups that my players have got, like Bateman and Buller. I think round 17, I should be okay. Just quickly showing you guys how it looks for round 16. At the moment, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I'm not going to count deal bags for now, so call it 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. We're sitting on 15 already for round 16, so I'm not sitting too badly for that. And if I look at my round 17 outs at this stage, it would be Bateman, Preston, and Buller out. I have no Sharks players at this point in time, so I'd only be missing three guys in round 17. So might be able to cover round 17 okay as well. Play Taruva. Yeah, look, there's a good chance I play Taruva as well against the Roosters, who are very leaky. I could easily play Taruva over Schuster, or even Christian Welch, to be honest, because Welch is a bit mid. Yeah, to be honest, I'd probably do that as well, to be honest. Although Isaac Tonga could be just a glue hand again. But anyway. All right. My voice is killing me, guys. Unfortunately, I can't really do the Q&A. I will look to upload this onto Spotify and everything after, but thank you all for tuning in. Over 200 of you watching throughout the entire stream was amazing, so I really appreciate the turnout today. Lots to get into, so hopefully you all appreciated the slightly longer stream, but do give it a like on the way out if you guys did enjoy it. Hopefully I'll try to get to more of your questions on Twitter or YouTube, but a bit difficult today as well. My voice is starting to kill me. So I think I'll wrap it up there, but thanks everyone for tuning in. I'll have a Strepsil after the stream, that's for sure. And I'll see you all in the next one. Have a good one.